that gives you better values, better baked foods, presents Mary Foster, the editor's daughter, transcribed.
Kroger, everything from bread to cake is better if it's Kroger baked. Money saving values too. Kroger is the store for you. Kroger.
That's something worth remembering, friends. Baked foods are better if they're Kroger baked. Find out for yourself with Kroger bread, the bread that's twisted for finer texture, better taste, and longer lasting freshness. Here's a truly better bread, another Kroger value. Just compare today's money saving price on the bread that's baked with a twist. You'll find it's an outstanding bread value. Buy two loaves and double your savings. Once you enjoy that velvet smooth texture, once you taste that oven fresh flavor, you'll say it's the best bread Kroger ever baked. So treat yourself to a loaf of Kroger bread, the bread that's twisted for finer texture, better taste, and longer lasting freshness. And now, Mary Foster, the editor's daughter. As we visit the little town of Valley Springs today, we find Mary and Henry driving toward the scene of a fire. It's late in the evening, and the Fosters are following the glow in the sky. Both are afraid it's the Boothby house. And we hear Henry say,
"Just take it easy, Charles. Take it easy. You know I don't care much about speeding in automobiles."
"But I'm not going awfully fast there."
"Well, you're going a little mite too fast for me. I always figured that the fella who goes mite slower, he gets there just exactly as quick."
"Well, all right. Is it better?"
"Yeah, it's much better. It'd be a mighty good thing, as far as I'm concerned, if they made automobiles to go not over 30 miles an hour."
"Well, we're almost there, anyway. Gosh, I believe it is the Boothby place that's on fire, Dad."
"Yeah. Well, I don't believe it could be any other place out in this territory. My gracious, the fire must have got a mighty good start. Look at that skyline. My gracious, 60.
What a terrible city is. Poor Bill, just when he's going to find a buyer."
"Yes, I know it. And also, poor Edward. I hope he's got adequate insurance on it. Oh, he must have, though, I guess."
"Well, as soon as we get around this next bend in the road, you'll know for sure."
"Well, I know as well as I need to right now. Yeah, there she is, Mary. Just going up in smoke and flame."
"Oh, isn't that awful?"
"Yes, it is awful. It's worse than that. Well, quite a few folks got out here already, I should say. There's Jim Drew, and there's Amelia."
"Well, come on, let's get out of the car, then."
"Yeah, that's a good idea. I suppose the fire department's doing its best, but my gracious, there ain't a chance of getting that fire out. No, sir, she's going to burn flatter than a pancake under a steamroller."
"It's a terrible shame."
"I should like to know how that got started, although I don't figure to take many guesses to figure it out."
"You mean that man who's been hiding out there?"
"Yes, sure I do. The fellow that's been living in them secret passages. He might have set the place on fire by accident, but more probably, he just touched her off for the pleasure of seeing her go up."
"Yeah, probably it,
Dad." "Ain't it awful, though?
Ain't it?" "Oh, sure, pretty bad, Amelia."
"It's frightful. I just hope they catch that lunatic who started it."
"Well, I've been thinking of that, Mary, and I know it's a wicked thought, and I wouldn't breathe a word of it to anybody, but..."
"But what?"
"Well, nothing. I ain't even going to mention it to you folks. And anyway, I know if he did start this fire, it was strictly by accident."
"Hello, Jim."
"Hi, Henry. Mary."
"Oh, hello, Jim."
"Quite some blaze, ain't it? That old place was dry as tinder. Probably would have gone up sooner or later anyway."
"Just the same, it's no fun to see it burn."
"Oh, no, no, of course not, Mary. That goes without saying. Amelia, could I see you for a minute?"
"Why, yes, I guess so, Jim."
"Excuse us, won't you?"
"Yeah, sure thing. You go right ahead and talk."
"What did you want to see me about?"
"I just happened to hear you telling Mary and Henry that if he did start this fire, it was by accident."
"Oh, my soul."
"And I just thought I'd ask who he is, Amelia."
Well, now, you look here, Jim Drew. You ain't got any right to go around snooping and listening to what folks are saying in private conversation."
"You ain't ever done anything of the sort, eh?"
"No, I ain't. At least I never walked right up to him that way. You ought to be ashamed of yourself."
"Maybe I had. But I ain't. And furthermore, I ain't going to be sidetracked from the main purpose here, which is to find out who you met."
"As far as I'm concerned, Jim, the only way you're going to find out is to guess for yourself."
"Amelia, you and I have known each other for a good many years, and I guess we understand each other. You understand that my sworn duty is to uphold the law in Valley Springs, and that means to apprehend lawbreakers.
Yes, I know that, of course.
All right. You also know it's your duty to help uphold the law. But you ain't upholding it worth a hoot if you know who set this fire and won't tell me.
I didn't say I knew who set the fire. Why, what are you talking about?
You seem to have a pretty good idea, though.
When I know who done it, Jim, I'll come and tell you.
That ain't enough. If you've got any suspicions at all, I should like to know who they're directed at.
In a word, you can arrest me if you want to, but that won't do you a mite of good.
No point in arresting you. I'm just trying to appeal to your law-abiding sense as a resident of this community.
No.
You think it over for a few minutes, Amelia, and then let me know what you decide.
Oh, dear. Now, what'll I do? Mary? Oh, Mr. Foster?
Yeah.
What's the trouble, dear?
Well, I need some advice awful bad. Jim Drew wants to know who I think set this fire, and I don't really think the one I'm thinking of did set it. And Jim says if I know, I'd ought to uphold the law. Now, what am I going to do?
Well, who are you thinking of, Amelia?
I told you, and Mr. Foster, you'd just get mad at me and say he couldn't possibly have done such a thing. Well, I don't think he did either. He might have done it accidental. I know that he wouldn't do it a purpose.
Now, suppose you calm down for a moment, Amelia, so we can see what this is all about.
Yes, because right now you're kind of talking in circles.
Well, you recall I told you a certain person got into his car and headed out this way after he left the hotel after talking with Mr. Edwards?
Amelia, you don't mean Don Randolph.
I didn't say he set the fire. Is he the one you mean? He might have been out here looking the house over and dropped a cigarette or a cigar or something by accident.
My gosh, why would Don be in the house?
Yes, and more to the point, how could he get in? Edwards told me he was keeping that place locked tight up.
Mr. Foster, I don't say Don was in the house. All I'm saying is that if by any chance he was, he might have started the fire by accident, as I've indicated.
Well, I think you'll find that lunatic said it, Amelia.
Well, what am I going to tell Jim? He told me to think it over and he'd ask me again. I ought to tell him something. After all, he's right. It is my duty to help uphold the law.
But, Amelia, Don Randolph is the last person on earth who'd do such a thing, even accidentally. Well, he smokes very seldom and...
Well, I don't see why he'd even want to get into the house. I'm only concerned with the fact that he headed out this way, Mary. I don't even know that he came here at all. I just saying that when he left the mansion house, he was headed in this direction.
All right. Now, if I was you, Amelia, and Jim had overheard me say something like that, why, I should tell him.
Well, he might get down into trouble. I wouldn't have that happen for the world.
No more would any of the rest of us, including Jim. He thinks a lot of Don, too.
It couldn't get him into trouble, Amelia, because he didn't have anything to do with it.
That is just the point. So I don't see a mite of harm in answering Jim's question.
Then Jim will question Don, and Don will find out where he got the information, and he'll blame me. No, I don't want to tell Jim a single thing, Mr. Foster, and I ain't going to. I'm going to get right in my car, and I'm going to go home, and when Jim comes back along this way, you can tell him that I've gone home.
Well, she's all upset.
Oh, well, I can see her point, Dad. She's just trying to be loyal to Don. That's understandable.
Well, sure, it's understandable. But she could still be loyal to him by exonerating him in her own mind from blame, couldn't she?
What do you mean?
I mean, tell Jim her story, let him investigate, and find out that Don didn't have anything to do with it. Now, that, to me, is the simplest way.
Well, I don't see why his name has to be mentioned at all.
Well, the only reason I can think of is... Oh, Look, Mary, the roof's about to cave in.
Oh, I don't want to look. Make me look at it.
There you go.
Oh. Let's go home, too, Dad. I don't want to stay out here any longer.
All right. We'll go in just a minute or so. Or if you'd rather, you can go along, and I'll get a ride in with somebody else.
No, I'll wait.
What was I saying? Oh, yes. I was saying, only reason I can think of is that suspicion of Don is going to get noised around.
Yes, I suppose Amelia will tell somebody.
Well, of course she'll tell somebody. She'll keep it to herself this evening, all right. But tomorrow, she'll tell somebody by virtue of the fact that it's impossible for Amelia to keep any such thing to herself.
Oh.
And then, of course, the word will get to Jim, and The first Don will hear of it will be when Jim comes to him.
Well, then, why don't you tell Jim about it yourself, Dad?
Well, sure, I'm just considering that right now.
Although with that lunatic still at large,
the chances are, Mary, he didn't leave any clues. And they ain't going to get the slightest proof against him, even if they do nab him, which I doubt. Oh, here comes Jim back over here. I think I shall have a talk with him.
Where's Amelia?
Why, Amelia, she's gone home, Jim. Look, why don't you and me talk things over? I mean, maybe I can explain to some extent what was in Amelia's mind.
I sure wish somebody would.
No sign of anyone setting the fire, Jim?
Can't tell yet, Mary. I ain't had a chance to talk with the chief. He's been too doggone busy.
Well, I can imagine. Well, I'll wait for you in the car, Dad.
Yeah, all right. I'll be right along.
Good night, Jim.
Good night, Mary.
Now, Jim.
Yeah?
This fella that Amelia has in mind, he's a friend of ours. A close friend. And also, he's a close friend of yours.
That's so. Regardless of that, I can't let it interfere with my duty, Henry. My duty lies in his direction.
I understand that perfectly. I ain't asking you. I'm just telling you what I should like to do to help him and to help you. Now, at the moment, it ain't necessary for me to mention his name.
Well, but that's exactly what I want, Henry.
All right, but I say...
Now, that's the only way you can help him. By telling me who he is, so I can go talk to him.
You just let me finish there, will you, Jim?
Go ahead.
Now, I'll make my suggestion, and then you can make a counter-suggestion if you so desire. Here's what I should like to do, Jim. Go to this fella and tell him what's happened here tonight.
All right.
I'll tell him of our conversations and that Amelia saw him start out for here late this afternoon, and I'll suggest that he come to you and make full explanation. Now, is that satisfactory to you, Jim?
Well, what if he's guilty?
He ain't guilty. I know that just as well as I know that I'm standing here talking to you.
Henry, you can never tell about these things. You ought to know that yourself. And if he is guilty and you go to him with all this talk, it's just going to tip him off so he can light out and get away.
All right. Now, I'll be personally responsible to you on that score. What'll happen is this. I'll tell him. He'll just pass it off as a joke and come in to see you of his own accord. And if, by any chance, he won't come in to see you, then I'll tell you who he is. Now, is that fair enough?
Well, all right, Henry. We'll leave it that way. But I should like to know one way or the other tonight.
You will, Jim. I give you my word, you will.
Is Henry in for a surprise when he talks to Don Randolph? We'll hear more about this tomorrow. Now, in just a moment, Henry Foster will return with another of his shrewd comments. But first, Kroger, the store that gives you better values, better baked food.
Kroger, Kroger, everything from bread to cake is better if it's Kroger baked. Money-saving values, too. Kroger is the store for you. Kroger.
Find out for yourself how good baked foods can be if they're Kroger baked. This week, get Kroger's Golden Snow Layer Cake. Each oven-fresh cake has two layers baked to a golden richness, filled with real fresh orange filling covered with white marshmallow. It comes to you gleaming with shredded coconut and topped with glacé cherry. Truly an oven treasure and a Kroger feature value. Only 49 cents for Kroger's Golden Snow Layer Cake. That means an actual saving of 10 cents on the cake of the week. Yes, your Kroger store is where you'll find Kroger's Golden Snow Layer Cake at the wonderful money-saving price of 49 cents. Take home a cake so light and fine that you'd be proud to say you baked it yourself from Kroger, the store that gives you better values, better baked foods. And now, Henry Foster.
You know, the safest rule for a long life is to get somebody else to do the worrying for you. Well, see you soon.
Bye.
Be sure to listen again tomorrow at the same time for another exciting transcribed chapter of Mary Foster, the Editor's Daughter.